I want to start this morning by saying a very huge thank you to the PW Committee for the invitation to be here to share in your service today. I'm really delighted to be here. It seems a very long time when that first phone call came to ask me if I would come, and now the day has arrived. Coming home, as I see it, but coming home in a very different way than ever I might have envisaged. It must be about 20 plus years when I stood in this pulpit one Sunday morning, shaking like a leaf, to give my testimony as part of the 2-7 Navigators course that I was on with quite a number of other people. Like this morning, it was a full church. The difference is I was able to look around this morning. On that morning, I couldn't. But on that day, I never thought that one day God would eventually lead me into ordained ministry. Ordained ministry in the Methodist Church. And many questions have been asked of me as to how I've ended up in the Methodist Church. If you want to find out more, ask me later. I have completed, prior to going to Queen's to do a theology degree, 8 years in lay ministry. And then in 2008, was appointed to the Upper Erne Circuit in County Fermanagh to be responsible there for 4 rural churches. So there is a bit of running around on a Sunday morning. Sunday mornings can be rather busy. And come early July, we are on the move again, and the church is restationing. And stationing is very much a Methodist word, but it means I'm being put into a new appointment and to the Cookstown and South Derry circuit, where I'll be responsible for 2 churches. Mixed in with this has been meeting and getting married to Ken in February 2009. But that's another story for another day. You'll have gathered that the theme of PW is Light of the World. And so as part of their theme, Light of the World, that's where we're going this morning as we turn to God's Word. But as we do that, let us pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together to look at your word, which we come to now, praying for the guidance and inspiration that comes through your Holy Spirit as we look and as we listen, as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. As the day progressed, the weather worsened. And a phone call from home suggested that I should leave work early. But as I worked close to the sea, I didn't think the weather was really that bad, and so I didn't leave work until my normal leaving time. I had to pick up one of my brothers in Kilkeel here, but we soon discovered that the snow, combined with the wind, made for a pretty difficult journey home. That evening, the most welcome sight were the lights of home. The electricity might well have been off that evening, but there was a glimmer, whether it was from oil lamps, candles, or whatever, and it was so welcome as they shone out on that wintry evening. This morning, let us look together at the light of God's word, the light of our Christian witness, and knowing and reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. And I promise you'll be home in time for your dinner. the light of God's word. And the psalmist writing in Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." A special speaker at a conference told of watching a building being constructed. They put down a cement pad, first of all. And then several days later, they brought in a huge, heavy silver box. And they set it down on this concrete pad. Then they built a frame around it. And then the walls began to be built. Curiosity got the better of him. And he wondered why this box had been installed, first of all. So we asked the question, what is going on? And he was told a bank was being built. Then it made sense. The huge box was the vault. It was the most important thing to the bank. And because of its size, weight, and importance, they had to build everything else around it. Later, it would not have been possible to get this through the door. So what would contain the valuables in the bank was put in place first, and then everything else built around it. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And I think this illustration demonstrates very clearly and speaks to us clearly about how our lives should be founded on the word of God. So like the bank, we need to build our lives around and upon the word of God. The Bible is the written word of God. And in there, in this book, are the valuable treasures that open the doorway to forgiveness from sin. We get guidance and rules to live by. We get a pattern for an abundant life and a pathway to eternity with Jesus. Writing to the young Timothy, Paul says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare his people to do every good work." And so he's reminding the young Timothy how true, how reliable, authoritative, permanent, and powerful is the word of God. Why? Because it comes from God himself. It is the only book that will impact our lives for eternity. There are many books that will have an impact upon us, I don't deny that. But this one will impact us for eternity. We can depend on it. We can trust in it. The question is, how do we view the Word of God? Is it our guiding light? Or is it something only turned to and opened up to in an emergency? And because this is a PW service, ladies, how does the Word of God affect the way that you live your life and influence others within the PW group? Is the Bible central to PW? Does the Bible affect you and influence you in the way that you carry out your role as a mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, in those various roles as a woman? The Bible is only read or opened here on a Sunday or at the PW. Something needs to change. Joshua talks about reading and meditating on the Word of God continually. Read it, meditate upon it, so you will be sure to obey everything written within it. Only then, he says, will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Meditate means to soak it up like a sponge. Turn it over in your mind. Chew on it. Ponder over it. You come across a phrase and you think, what does that mean? Ponder over it. I'm one of those people who likes sweets that I can chew. I like to put something in my mouth that I will be there for a while. Chew over it. Chew it. That's what we need to do with God's word. And digest it. Take it in. Allow it to work in us. Well, I encourage us this morning, each and every one, whatever age, whatever stage, whatever group you're in, wherever you are, to get into the Word of God. Get in there and then allow that Word of God to light up your life, to be an effective witness in the PW, in the life of this church, in your work life, in your home life, and importantly, outside of these doors. Jesus in Matthew commands us to be the light of the world. And I emphasize again, it is the most trustworthy and reliable book available today. A few weeks ago, we had a representative from the removal firm having an appointment with us to give us a quote for moving. But long after the appointment time, he had not arrived. But we received a call. He told us he was on the main street and he was standing outside the bank. And could we tell him where number 31 was situated? I'm standing outside the bank was the first indication that something was amiss. Because Brookborough does not have a bank. He had relied completely and utterly on his sat-nav. He had listened to the voice and had ended up some 20 miles from where he should have been. The Bible can be trusted. Unlike sat-nav, which depends on a human being putting in the information, the Bible can be trusted. What are you building your life upon today? Human-made devices or the living Word of God? The light of our Christian witness. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. In using this illustration, Jesus was using something that his listeners would really and clearly have understood. Palestinian homes were dark, little places, very small windows in them, very difficult to light those oil lamps, and once they were lit, the occupants did not like to put them out again. So if they were going out, they covered them for safety. And that is where Jesus is taking this illustration from. Don't allow your light to be covered. Don't allow it to be covered. Let everyone see it. Let it be something on the hilltop. I don't want to address just to the ladies, but it is especially to the ladies, but it includes us all this morning. Is the light of Jesus Christ seen by others? The light that we have in here seen by others? Or is it only seen in those places of security and safety? It's easy to talk spiritually at the PW. It's simple to do the godly talk with the other Sunday school teachers. There's bound to be spiritual conversation at a committee meeting, the Girls' Brigade, Youth Club, Boys' Brigade, all of those places. It's a natural place for it to happen. But what happens to your Christian light in your place of employment? What happens to your Christian values when you are out with a group of friends? What happens to your tongue when you find yourself on the receiving end of gossip? What happens to your Christianity when you talk with your neighbour? And looking out upon this very full congregation this morning, there are a lot of young people here this morning. Thank God for you, each one of you. Young person, where do your morals and the Christian teaching that you have received go when you're offered drugs, alcohol, or having sex? And maybe the most difficult of all, what happens to the light of our Christ, our Christian witness, in our wider family circle? Is the light of Christ shining out in these situations and many other situations that we find ourselves in? Do others look at us and see a difference in our attitudes and our habits and the way that we live our lifestyle? Or is the light of Christ only switched on and off when it's comfortable to do so? Christ is a permanent resident. The light should be flowing out all of the time. I came across this illustration, and I think it clearly says what I've been trying to say, and I think it brings it together. Two young people were walking along a mountain path when their conversation turned to a mutual acquaintance. The young man said, "She has what I call a radiant personality." "That's right," agreed the young woman. "How do you account for it?" They walked along for a few more moments, and then pointing across the river, he said, "See that wonderful old castle? When I was a boy, my playmates and I loved to sit on the bank and look across at it. And we could tell what was going on by the number of lights that were burning. If only the family were present, just a few lights could be seen. When guests were entertained, there would be many lights, and the palace would become truly beautiful. Once a member of a royal family visited there, and you should have seen the lights. I have seldom seen such brilliance." The young couple's discussion wandered back to their acquaintance. "I think the only way her radiant personality can be explained is that she is constantly entertaining a royal guest." And the young man agreed with what the young woman had said. Are you entertaining a royal guest? Has the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords taken up residence in your heart and life? If not, why not? Knowing and reflecting the light. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He simply was a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus Christ is the true light that God sent into the world. And John was very clear that he was only a witness to this light. Today, we are to be a witness to this light. PW, Girls Brigade, Youth Group, Youth Choir, Committee Meeting, light to this perfect light. In other words, we are to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Reflect his example. And this is one occasion where you are very much allowed to copy. We are to copy him, imitate him. I'm going to not use another little illustration. I'll probably get told off later on, but I'm going to use it anyhow. Marriage and getting older have made me become keenly aware that many of my characteristics, traits, and mannerisms are exactly the same as my mother's. I look at my hands and say, they are my mother's. I go about a task and I think, that's the way my mother does it. I respond to Ken and I think, that's the way my mother speaks. I hear and see my mother in me. Sometimes it's actually very funny. Other times it's uncanny. But it's normal. It is absolutely normal because I am her daughter. And being her daughter means that I am bound to have some of her characteristics and also characteristics and similarities to my father. It's normal. It's natural. And in a similar sense, as a son or daughter of the King, a son or daughter of Jesus Christ, then we should be reflecting him in our characteristics, in our manners, in our attitudes. This should be normal tendencies and characteristics. It should be every bit as normal as those that we demonstrate and share of our birth parents. The only difference here is that we have to make a conscious decision to be a son or daughter of the King before we can reflect those characteristics. We've come through Sunday school. We've come through Bible class. We attend PW, BB, GB, and many other things. And they are important, but not adequate. All of the stuff that's up in our head needs to get down into our heart. That we have the lamp of entering into a committed relationship with the Lord. That faith and trust within that relationship needs to be switched on. We need to be plugged in to him. Then and only then can we be true reflectors of the word. If you've already done that, then you are shining for Jesus. You should be saturated with his light. Have eternal life, everlasting life, hope for the future. And if not, the Savior beckons you to open up the door of your heart and allow his light to shine into those dark places so you might have life for now and for eternity. This little chorus that I finish with is extremely old. It was regularly played in our house on a Sunday afternoon. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus gave me the light. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of God's word, the light of our Christian witness, and knowing and reflecting that light. Let us pray.